I mean, I do primarily market my OnlyFans through my TripAdvisor account.
Oh, wow.
I go to a place, I go to a nice Airbnb, I leave a little review on TripAdvisor, and then at the bottom, and I say, and if you want to see me rosebudding, me rosebud? Is it, can you, is rosebud a noun or a verb? Can you rosebud, or do you have a rosebud?
It's another 802 this week, and we are coming from Liverpool, and this is Nick Charles, and on the other side of London is...
It's Elijah Doolittle. Today, Dan couldn't make it. He's having a colonoscopy, so it's Elijah Doolittle. Go again. Also, Elijah Doolittle's not a person. I don't know who that was. I was thinking Eliza Doolittle.
Who the fuck is Elijah Doolittle? Is
that, I don't know.
Are you meaning Eliza Doolittle? Didn't she sing a song? Pack up your suit and your old day do do. But I don't know. I think it's that. I don't know.
Okay. She did have a song called Pack Up and then a song called Skinny Jeans.
Pack up.
Anyway, we can't use any of this because MJ cut in directly in the middle of it. So do your intro again, please.
Cool. Oh, God. Good afternoon, morning, good night, namaste, everything in between that you greet someone when you're talking from a microphone all the way in Liverpool. It's Nick Charles, and this is another week of the 802 with my lovely bestie and co-host, Mr. Dan.
Hello, I'm Mr. Dan, part of the Mr. Men franchise and series. I'd probably prefer Little Miss Dan, but only on the weekends. Hi, how are you? You good? Everybody good?
Miss Dan, if you're nasty.
It's Little Miss Dan, okay? You gotta hit the branding as Little Miss Dan. Okay?
Little Miss Dan.
Did you have, as a child in the islands?
Yes.
Did you? Oh, God, I should not do that accent.
That's almost as worse as Jesse from Little Mix. Valiente! It was just as bad. Terrible.
Oh, I apologize. Jesus. Did you ever have, like, the Mr. Men books?
I had the Mr. Men books. And I actually had Mr. Busy was my mom's nickname because I was always busy doing something, so... I guess she was right, because look at me now, busy doing nothing.
Busy doing talking shit with me.
I know, living a dream. Oh my God, we have so much to get into today.
We do. I have a few announcements before the coach leaves the station. So everybody could just make sure that their seatbelts are fastened while I pull up what my announcements were.
Pull up to my bumper, baby.
Pull up to my bumper. First of all, I don't know if you've seen, but the LGBT Foundation has been running a lockdown pride campaign, which my friend worked out. There is a video on their Instagram page, which I'll share on the Instagram page, called Lockdown and Out. Mm-hmm. I want to shout that out. Have a look at the work they're doing over there. There were some other announcements, which I can't remember where I've written down. So let's say that was my only one for now. Did you have any announcements?
No, I have no announcement apart from thank you for listening and thank you for coming back to another week of the 802. Yay!
Oh, I've remembered. So what I'm going to need everybody to do once you finish listening to this one, there are two other podcast recommendations I'm going to make. First one is obviously Queer Talk.
Yes.
So Spencer was here last weekend and he just decided that he was going to spend 20 minutes just reading Nick, which I really enjoyed. Thank you for doing that, Spencer. You can come back anytime if you're going to do that again.
Shade.
Look, you just radiate excellence and like ethereal beauty. And sometimes you just need to be humbled again, okay?
Do you want a new host? Because I'll leave.
What? I just complimented you. I said you radiate excellence and ethereal beauty.
I thought you were reading me.
No, that was cute. And then also there is another podcast hosted by a lovely man called Miles. He's from London. It's called Get the Belt. They are just relaunching, I think, this week. So available on Spotify and iTunes. So once you're done listening to us, be dumb. You head over to there and give our friends some love and support because we love them and want to support them.
Yes, we support. We support everyone.
Look at me remembering I had things to say.
I actually did see Get the Belt. I think it was this guy called Bobby Gray Photography on Instagram. I think he promoted it this morning. And I was like, oh yeah. So add a little gander and it looked really funny. So I'm probably going to give that a listen when I am done with today.
Yeah, give them a little listen. Yeah. We'll spread some love. You know, there's only so many of us queers knocking about doing fun, odd shit. So... if you listen to one, you might like another. Although, just don't like them more than you like me because I'm very competitive and I can't handle that.
Yeah.
So Just like them, like me, like 10 out of 10, like them, like 9 out of 10.
Are you ready for this week's Get Under My Wig? Because I am ready.
Did you come locked and loaded? Because I didn't really have that.
I had a very chilled,
sort of like, I kind of logged off a little bit, so it took some time to just sort of hang out with my new cat. So I don't really know what's going on, so I'm just going to let you talk about it. And then I'll probably take over.
I want to say hi to Missy, who's probably listening. Hi, Missy the kitty.
Her name is Misty with a T.
Oh, Misty. Oh, God.
There we go.
Oh, okay. Like from Pokemon? Like Misty?
A little bit from Pokemon, but she's actually named after a one-off character in a Bob's Burgers episode.
Yes, yes. I just want to get into Twitter right now because Twitter is lit a fire because of a certain little singer. My name, Jess Glynn. Well, dear God, I have been watching the drama unfold from since last night, and I'm just going to give my two-piece real quick.
You throw your two cents in,
Let me just fix my wig real good on my head. If you, dear Miss Glynn, as you may know, you are a singer, and I realize that you know you like, during lockdown, it's been very hard, we couldn't go out, and you know, now restaurants are opening, and people are being allowed out again. Now, everyone know if you're going to a nice fancy restaurant like Sexy Fish, the dress code is always of a certain attire. Ma'am, let me just remind you, because probably your wig glue's a bit too tight on that head of yours. Let me remind you real quick. If you are going to an establishment that is very of an upper echelon, ma'am, make sure the dress code you're wearing is what the company is asking of you. Don't jump on Twitter and jump on Instagram complaining, oh my God, I feel disagree. Honey, you don't know what discrimination is about. So to be using that D word, Missy. You just upset and angry because you got told you can't come in. Because how are you going to show up at a nice fancy restaurant in a hoodie? Because you think you're wearing a Gucci over bag with... I think it was either tracksuit bottoms or something. But honey, you could be a princess of Nova Scotia or somewhere like those. If you don't wear the right thing, they're not going to let you in. But instead, you jump out on Instagram and jump on Twitter. Oh my God, I feel discriminated against. And let me tell you something. If you search Twitter about Sexy Fish, it is a hot situation, and I got involved as well, and I shared my picture of Sonata when she was wearing the leaves and flowers on the X Factor, and I was like,
I love that you can't get anyone's name right the first time.
Oh my God, Sinita Sonata, whatever it is, Frank Sinatra's sister. Her. Okay, all right. Let me put it in a better context. Simon Cowell's side piece. Is that better?
Yeah, we don't know. We know Sonata. We've been big Sonata. We are Sonata stans over here.
Yes.
We love Sonata.
Yes, Sonata.
Whoever she may be.
A mess. But yeah, I was like, Jess, not being funny, girl. Girl, come on. You're acting brand new. Like, we understand, you know, you have... Like, you're going to a restaurant when I can't even afford the menu there. Like, I could probably just afford, like, a starter, which is, like, probably, like, a bowl of nuts and some tap water.
Oh, yeah, give me that water. I'm going to take that free complimentary bread.
Exactly.
Thank you very much.
Exactly. And I'm taking all the toiletries in the bathroom. That's usually free as well.
This is why we don't get invited.
Exactly. But it's like she's kicking up and she's angry and upset, yada, yada, yada. And I'm like, girl, no. It's either you show up dressed up to the nines or don't. But then you go on Instagram and you talk about discrimination. Honey, you wouldn't even understand what discrimination is because you have never felt that because you are a person of a white culture. So talk about discrimination. That's not discrimination. That's basically basic rules. And if you and your PR team to do your dirty work real quick, you had a check and made a reservation and they would have told you, hey, formal, because I know for a fact you know what you're doing. So I don't understand why she's complaining. Girl, get in the bin.
There is a point that she's not making. Mm-hmm. About how dress codes have been used to actively discriminate against people mm-hmm. in order to assume that they couldn't access resources or experiences that everybody else could because they didn't meet the dress code. This is not this. Mm-hmm. This is... So I am like, when it comes to eating out, I am the kind of person who I'm like, if I can't do it in jeans and a t-shirt, I don't want to do it. if I can't get into a club, if I have to wear a shirt and shoes to get into a club, I don't want to go. Okay, the only time I'm going to abide by your dress code is if I'm going to a theme party and the theme is fun. Okay, that's the time where I'm abiding by dress code. So I understand not wanting to dress up and do all this stuff and go to things. But if you don't want to dress up and go to this stuff, you can just not go to this place. Like, exactly. It's perfectly fine. This does not matter, darling. Like, this is the least important thing that is currently happening.
Yeah we have
on the globe.
Yeah, we got just, bigger fish if you to wanna, fry.
Yeah, if you want to sit in a hoodie and some tracksuits and you trainers and eat some good food, like, Uber Eats is right there. I can give you 15 quid off today on your first order. Jess Glynn, if you're listening, you want 15 quid off your Uber Eats, get in touch, okay? I got a code. We can get it sorted. Otherwise, it's like, just go get some pizza. Just go to Joe's or go to Voodoo Ray's and just eat something nice and chill out, calm down.
Even if you want to have sex fish, at least if you don't want to have the dress code, at least order the food to go. At least. You know what I mean?
I don't know if Sexy Fish does a takeout service.
Oh well.
I imagine if you've got to dress up to get into a place, you can't just walk in and be like, hey, can I get the filet mignon to go? can you just box this up? See, this is why we don't get invited, Nick. We don't know how these things work.
Exactly. This is why. But yeah, that's the only thing I've been getting on my way this week. Like, this week is a bit different because it was actually meant to be a Ask Nick episode. However, dun-dun-dun-dun, we have a little surprise. Do you want to tell people, Daniel? Do you want to tell people what's going on?
Well, firstly, I want to talk about Simon Cowell.
Yes. Do tell.
I have nothing prepared. I don't actually want to talk about Simon Cowell. I just looked at our time and I was like, oh, we've actually got time. Why are we doing the intro now? We've got 10 minutes before this starts.
I know. What is going on with us today?
I've been so checked out of... I couldn't even tell you what the drama was beyond the Jess Glynn thing, which I only saw because you said to me last night. And trust, I had a hearty, hearty cackle at this moment thing. It was... Oh, it was so much fun just to watch. I just love when people make these jokes and then they just turn into other jokes and then people share it. And like, she's real serious. She was plucked and stressed out. And she was like, the world needs to know that I didn't get to eat at Sexy Fish. And it was like, first of all, babe, we don't care. They don't care. Ain't nobody care. Just like, they've got a dress code. Yeah. Go put on some of the clothes or don't.
Exactly, or don't. Easy.
But why are you telling me about it? What do I need to know?
She's all up in her feelings for no reason. Like, girl, cook your own fish and make it sexy at home if you're so bothered.
Yeah. Here's a question for you.
Yes.
Have you been to a bar since they've opened?
Yes, I have. And it was very, very interesting, which was very weird. I went to the Village on Sunday with my friend, with Spencer, actually. And we went to New York, you know, one of those bars that always is always very busy, like, you know, at Pride. And it was very busy on Sunday as well. But what they was doing was they had, like, the seating was outside and you had, like, it was tables, like, the social distance. And it was so weird. The music was, like, on 5%. It was different, but it was just nice to be back outside and see people that you haven't in a long time. So... It was something, because you know when you have to kind of retrain your brain to do something different because you're used to doing just show up and being messy. Yeah, you have to like just rein it in. Have you?
Yeah, so I went into Soho not on the Saturday but on Sunday. So I dodged all that massive crowd of it. It was odd. It's definitely not like something I'll probably do again. Only because I'm like. For me, the fun part of being out and drinking is like, you get to see your mates, but it's also like, I'm all about progression. So like, if we're going for a drink in like a pub or whatever, I have to feel like that's going to progress into like a night of like dancing and fun. If not, I just probably won't drink anything. So I'm not like I'm not like a sit down and eat dinner and have a few drinks kind of person. I'm like, I'll either drink to dance or I won't do it at all. And you're like, you're in these places where you remember just being like, just toe up from the flow up. oh my God, I sounded so posh. I promise I'm not from Eton. I promise I'm not from Eton. Oh my God, my mum's a cleaner. I don't know why this is my voice. But anyway, you're just in these places where you're just used to being like pissed. And then you're sort of having just a few casual drinks separated by some perspex. or like sat outside and you're just like, this, I feel like this experience isn't really worth it until things
until
go back to normal.
To normal.
So I might either be keeping my little hiney in the park or in my house, I think.
True. But it was compared to what I saw happen in Soho, Manchester was very different to the like, look, Soho was chaos, but again, you can't, it was just like at the same time, these people have been cooped up in the house for weeks. Of course they were going to go out and have a good time. That's just how it is. And when you get drunk, you really, it's hard to social distance. And it's just one of those things where it's like, you could do your best, but it's one of those. But I just can't wait till it's better. But what I
and
do...
And it's like, it was, it's, I don't understand. I understand people being frustrated, but it's also like if they didn't want this to happen, they didn't have to open pubs and bars this soon. They could have kept them closed. And also, like, the bars themselves can only control the space inside them. So it's like they were doing what they needed to do to make sure that people were spaced out inside. But once you're out on the street, like, it's anyone's game to do it. And like you said, once you start drinking, just the, like, the social distancing it just gets thrown out at the window.
It's one of those things,
like, if you want to get mad at somebody, just get mad at whoever made the decision to open all the bars and clubs. And then also get really mad at them encouraging people to go drinking on Saturday, which was like their whole thing. Like, there was an actual government campaign to encourage people to go out and support bars and clubs and pubs and everything. Yeah. Like, so you can't then also get mad when people are doing what you told them to do.
Yeah.
Exactly. So it's like, pick a lane, darling. Just like...
pick a lane.
Close everything or open them up. And make sure like people can do it. So like, if you don't want people stood around in the street in large groups getting drunk, don't let them stand around on the streets and get drunk.
Exactly.
Say like bars can only serve people and you can only be served inside and you have to stay inside and there can only be a set amount of people each time. Or just don't do it. Or just like stop trying to make everyone get mad at them for doing what you told them to do.
True. Exactly. It is what it is. But while we're on the story, while we're on the topic of Gany Lane, can we just talk quickly before we bring our guest in? Can we just talk quickly about Drag Race? Because it's about to like be like, it's about to like hit the door. The drama
it's about
that
to hit the door.
The drama, well, hit the fan. The drama between Alexis and
it's
Shay.
It's about to hit the door. What does that mean?
Alexis and Shay, the drama.
Oh, I'm so happy India did something before she left.
Yes, and I was here for it. It was drama extraordinary. I was just here for everything.
Yeah, I've genuinely been finding this season just a little bit boring. And I think that I might just have like Drag Race fatigue. Or maybe because like season 12 was really fun. And like All Stars is usually like more fun than a regular season. Because you already have like opinions on the girls and the challenges are interested. And then you've got the whole elimination thing. But this season's just been a bit like...
I was gagging
deciding to do that.
I was gagging. And did I not say that Vanjie was gonna come back? Did I not call it from since episode one? I called it. I said Vanjie is gonna show up.
They loved Vanjie. I love Vanjie too.
Open your legs.
Genuinely, she did. She genuinely thought she was competing for 10 grand in that thing though. There's no. Mama was like, I ain't getting paid for this. I just turned up on the show. She can earn 20 grand. I don't get none.
I love it. God. So much to talk about. So, should we do the intro for Alexis then?
Just sort of gave it away. I mean, to be honest, the caption of the episode will give it away. But usually you don't say the guest's name while saying, should we do the intro for the guest?
All right. Well, we'll cut out. So.
Will we?
Yeah, of course. Yes, sir, Danielle. You
but
better.
But it's so much fun to leave it in.
No. You must make me sound like an absolute, like I don't know what the hell I'm doing. When in reality, I don't. I'm just like blagging it. I'm literally a cat in a bag and a hat.
You are. Right. Okay. Let's intro.
Right. So, the 802 have another lovely guest this weekend. And this time, it's someone that is... I can't even like point out how phenomenal this person is. Elliot Joseph Rentz, aka Alexis Stone, is a master with a makeup brush. The Manchester-based makeup artist extraordinaire first became known for his incredible shape-shifting skills that see him transform himself into everyone from Cameron Diaz to Kim K to Adele. His track record is unmatched. Transforming his own image and identity has been the most interesting to watch, both on Instagram and YouTube. Back in January 2019, Alexis made headlines after convincing his fans he'd undergone extensive surgical procedures, a real-life episode of Botched. Eventually, he revealed that this was in fact just a prosthetic, with sporting a prosthetic mask all this time. The intention behind this dramatic stunt was simply demonstrating the power of makeup in aiding transformation. It had us shook, gagged, and wigless. So, on this week's 802, we welcome the phenomenal, the extraordinary Alexis Stowe. So, Alexis, how are you and how have you been holding up? Welcome to the 802. How are you holding up through quarantine and the new normal?
Yeah, no, do you know what? I kind of feel like I was mentally prepared for this with the plastic surgery project because I wore a mask for 3 months and I didn't leave the house. So whilst this one's a little bit different in the sense that I had that freedom taken away, it's sort of comforting knowing that it's the entire world. And I know that sounds pretty satanic, but... knowing that we're all going through the shitstorm together is comforting. But no, fine. I mean, I work from home. I have my own little fantasy world that I'm in a majority of the time, quarantine or not quarantine. So I've been okay. How have you been?
We've been all right. Apart from, you know, not being able to get dick, that's been kind of hard, but, you know.
I mean, can't relate. I mean, You can quarantine me, but you can't quarantine this pussy. So
we love to see it.
Yeah, this is why it's a good thing that my manager's not in this conversation.
I love it. Oh, phenomenal. Yeah, but we've been good. As for Dan, do tell us what you've been up to.
I've been good. I've been sat in this house. Like, I know every crack in the wall now. I know every little bit on the ceiling. Like, the landlord is going to get a very detailed email at the end of this. And be like, all of these things need fixing. Sort of biggest thing from quarantine is starting up the 802 with this maniac on the other side of these microphones.
I know. I've been living the dream.
I can imagine.
I know. So it's been all right. You're our third guest, and it's like we're like, good. Like I was like, I was literally was like, right, let me just send the test word out the to waters. Alexa, and be like, hey. So it's like, did you watch Game of Thrones?
I did. You know what? I'm one of the 1% of people that didn't.
Okay, all right.
I know.
You missed out on so much good stuff, and then a lot of bad stuff at the end.
Yeah.
So, well, I feel like if I watched it, it would have made me too relatable. So that's what I'm going to put it on. It's just clever branding. And my ethos is just to stay cancelled so I can't get cancelled again. So, no, I've heard amazing things about it. But it's one of those things that you have to watch from the very beginning. Otherwise, you know, it doesn't really make sense. And I just simply don't have... I'm just going to say that I don't have enough time. But the reality is,
We love the honesty on the show. If it wasn't honest, we'd just, like, end the frigging thing. Absolutely. So I always wondered, what does Alexis Stowe stand for?
Alexis Stowe.
Yeah.
So, for me, growing up watching these 90s femme fatale thrillers, things like Basic Instinct and The Hand That Rocks the Cradle and Single White Female, I was always gravitated towards these powerful females that were almost villainesque. Yes. And I think, as a gay guy, we are all attracted to these types of characters, whether it's Cruella de Vil or Miranda Priestly. For me, it just is a little push or step further than that in this sort of murderous, scandalous way. So when I first started doing Alexis Stowe, it was very visual-based. And then obviously over the years, it's commercialized somewhat, like we all have to do and sell our souls to the devil.
Damn right.
But for the most part, it's about being a villain. And I know that... I mean, I think for the most part, people understand that. And I hope that most people also understand that it's character. And drag for me has always been an acting avenue. But for the most part, that's it. It's this cold femme fatale that's somewhat intimidating. And Alexis, actually, it doesn't come from Alexis Carrington, which everyone presumes it does. It actually comes from Alexis from Ugly Betty when Rebecca Roman played her.
You know what's really funny? I was going to say, I get from Alexis, I get a lot of, you know, Vanessa Williams, her character, like that bad bitch.
Oh, the fantasy.
I get that from you.
Watching that, it was like, it is the fantasy. Like, sat at home vibrating.
Yeah.
And then every time Daniel Mead came on, I'd like go up to my room and be like, oh, I'm really tired, Mum. I'm just going to go to sleep now.
Yeah.
Reality was absolutely not the case.
And then touch yourself in a sensual way. We love it. We love it there.
Literally.
I love it.
The truth. But it's true. But I know. I do get that whole... I feel like, because I've seen you before, like in Manchester and stuff. And I feel like whenever you walk into a room, you really give me that, like... The Manchester Donatella meets Devil Wears Prada. You're like, he's like, I own it. Well, and it's like, I don't know what you own, but you own it.
I'll take that. I'll PayPal you for that one. That's a good one.
We love it. We love it, but it's the truth. But yeah, but it's nice to see someone like you, because I've been a massive fan from a long time, and even my sister, who's back home in Trinidad and Tobago, they're massive fans of yours, and you wouldn't believe it. You actually have a fan base out there.
Wow. So they're going to be listening. It's always the weirdest places. I remember I was on holiday a couple of years ago now with my mother on her 50th birthday, on the middle of nowhere, on a private beach. I'd just given her some presents. We were having a nice, can you say romantic meal with your mother? Yeah. I mean, it was somewhat romantic. It was a romantic setting. Yeah. And out of nowhere, a group of girls came over and asked to take some photos. And it was magical in the sense that my mum had never seen that before, that side of my work. But it's always, honestly, the weirdest places on planet Earth, or whether I'm on a plane. I really appreciate that it's sort of the blessing of social media is it reaches people all over the world.
Yeah, it is pretty incredible. And it's nice because, like, I've seen your brand build. Like, I've seen how hard you worked and how you started on, like, I used to see you around Manchester, and then, like, I just saw you, like, become this online sensation. It's like,
yeah, it was pretty overnight.
Yeah, I mean, I am still gagged about for your reveal up to this day, like that.
Yeah,
like
I hear that a lot.
Like,
can we talk about that reveal just a little bit more?
Yes, just we're ready.
Do it.
I need to.
So, for those that have no idea, what the reveal is, I convinced the world for 3 months I had extensive reconstructive plastic surgery whilst hiding behind Oscar award-winning makeup prosthetics designed by David Marty, who worked on Pan's Labyrinth and Hellboy, and I achieved the Wildenstein effect, gaining sort of international coverage as this botched ex-male model who became his obsessed idol Jocelyn Wildenstein, and then as the ultimate fuck you, I decided to tear it off on New Year's Eve and ruin everyone's New Year's Eve.
We were gagged.
It was insane. What was the reaction you got to that? Was it? I imagine it was just a lot of shock.
Substantial, absolutely. Right. I mean, it was shocking for me as well. I knew it was gonna. I think I was so submerged in the fantasy of it all and living this Mrs. Doubtfire lifestyle of like sneaking around wearing a mask.
Yeah.
That I hadn't really comprehend how the wavelengths were going to send around the world, but I knew pretty quickly, I mean, pretty much an hour after I had launched it, that it was going to reach the people it did. I mean, I had messages from Kim Kardashian to Lady Gaga to Anastasia Beverly Hills, all saying that they had been sat there watching it for months and that they were completely gagged. So, that was a real pinnacle moment in my life that really set me on the course of being a sort of recognized artist.
Yeah, because I remember like just being like, well, I think I was actually pre-drinking at my friend's, and they were like, Nick, come and watch Alexis's video. I was like, what? And it was like, boom. I was like, shut the fuck up. Listen, Manchester was gagging. And I mean, they were drooling. It was like, no, she didn't. And I was like,
tore her face off.
I was like, damn, that was something. And I was like, wait, she just tore her face off. It was like, it's like I'll tell you as a fan and just girl, that reveal, like Drag Race can't even touch a reveal like that. Uh-huh.
I like that would go on Drag Race just so I can recreate that reveal.
Yes,
all these queens that are tearing off like a big skirt into a tutu. I want to tear off my face.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, let's see you match that up, bitch.
Uh-huh. It's funny, when I meet queens now, they'll say like, oh, I'm a show queen, I do reveals, and then they look at me and they go, okay, I'm a show queen. I'm a show queen. These are reveals to mama.
It's like, girl, get to the back and get some prosthetic on your face.
Literally.
So, with, you know, like, all your art skills and your transformation, your shock value and your online presence, how do you engage with your fan base and, like, keep delivering? Like, how do you keep evolving as an artist?
I think people are so involved in me and my life and my growth and my downfalls and my achievements. I think having that unfiltered, unbiased truth and reality in all of my work, and whilst I obviously can sell a fantasy, I think that's what people are really involved in. So I think just by being my authentic self and updating them when I'm having those shit days where I can't get out of bed, and having them alongside me when I achieve things, and being able to give back to them with incredible products which they can use to further their artistry, which they've encouraged me to further my artistry. I think it is, and as cheesy and wankery as it sounds, it is a family. And for someone that's not a family orientated person, social media and the people that have reached out to me over the years have really sort of reminded me and helped me get through those shitty times. So I think just being transparent is the best engagement I have with my followers.
Yeah, that's good, because I feel like with you, you're very to the point. There is no black and white. It's more like it's Alexis or nothing. And I think that's really important, because not only are you even like, because remember, you're also a character, and if that character doesn't stick to like what you're known for, it kind of like it defeats your brand, because you're not being yourself. So I think you being you is very important. And not even that, I feel like you, I'm sure you might realize you have a lot of younger kids that look up to you and be like, you know what, like, and you, like your artistry is unmatched, and it's nice to see like people like look up to you and stuff, and you're always very to the point. And you know what, I think sometimes being blunt and being yourself, as well as being a, like, I wouldn't say, like, it's up to you if you want to call yourself a role model. I think you are, because not only are you inspiring the young LGBTQ kids, you're also inspiring cisgender people, and it's nice. Sure. So,
I mean, a majority of my audience, I mean, it's with 85% females, I would say a good 70% of that is cisgendered women.
Yeah.
So it's interesting that I can use my platform to be unapologetically myself whilst also being apologetic when I need to be, but also introducing this queer platform for those that are just perhaps uneducated or interested. And really, just by being that is a political statement in itself. So without me going out of my way or really wanting this sort of role model status, just by me doing what I do, it does sort of save send wavelengths around.
Keep doing it, bitch.
No, I ain't going nowhere.
Dan, you have anything for Alexis?
Well, I was just waiting for you to let me talk. That was great, Nick.
The shame.
I'm just joking. I was joking. So, Alexis, if you could give some advice to other people with platforms for them to sort of use their platform as effectively as you do, what would you sort of say to them?
I just don't censor yourself. I mean, we live in such an age now where the rich and the famous are able to do as they please, and we're in an age now where we're censored, or if we don't fit into a stereotypical mainstream, commercialized, profitable pigeonhole, then we're pushed to one side, and it is soul-destroying. And people say to me, well, I'm always super supportive for smaller artists, and that's because, whether people agree or not, I am a smaller artist in comparison to some of the questionable people that aren't. So it's very important that you know yourself, you know your self-worth, and it's okay to, whether you're transform or whether to a degree you're even conforming, as long as you know who you are at the end of it. Because there'll be a world after social media, the same way there was before social media. So just focus on you. Worry about your character, because only you know who that is.
Yeah, kind of like build your brand kind of thing.
Absolutely.
Even if that character is a bitch.
Absolutely.
I really love... I have such a almost fetish for when people that you know are just to their core a bitch, but really try not to be. It's like, who are you trying that for? Just be the bitch you know you are.
Yeah, I love it. Because I always say, I don't mind if you're going to be a K-U-N-T, but have something to back it up with. I meet these young little chickens that have been doing drag for 6 months because they've watched the latest season of Drag Race, and they think they are that because they've got their boy body, they got no pads on, they got an Amazon corset with the strings wrapped around their waist, giving it all that, and I just think you ain't got nothing to back it up with. Ain't got nothing. So I live for someone that can be, that can give it, but you just, you have to be able to give it, have something behind it.
Yeah, just be relentless.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And just have integrity. Like, where's the integrity? Like, where's the ownership? Like, the amount of times that I've been a dickhead and I've been a cunt and I've just said, do you know what? I'm not going to disagree with you. I'm a dickhead. I'm a cunt. You can't take that away. You can't take that away from me.
I feel the next time you do any, like, you know, performance, you have to do Doja Cat. I'm a bitch. Absolutely. I could just see you, like, turn that the fuck up.
I'm a bitch. I'll consider it done. Well, as soon as clubs reopen, well, I say that, as soon as flights to America reopen, because you know the UK clubs can't afford it. So, going back to the States.
Let me just sip my tea.
Uh-huh, and that's on that.
Oh, we're going to get emails.
Uh-huh. We love it. We love to see it.
Okay, so we spoke about the reveal, which was, can I say, one of the most insane things I've ever seen on the internet. It was so well done. But I know you work on a bunch of projects. And you're constantly busy, booked and busy. And one of them is Essential XO. For those who don't know what Essential XO is, can you just give us sort of the story of her creation?
I wanted to start again. I wanted to see if I could do it all over again with it being me, tweaked, and see if people would still love it. And I feel like for the most part, that's what I managed to do. So we scanned me in. We went to the digital board and we made some tweaks into one of my ideas of beauty, which I think people have seen as a huge variety. Mm-hmm. And I created, in my eyes, as of right now, one vision of the perfect human without the problematic text that comes of human emotion. So I created an entity. That's what I refer to her to as. Mm-hmm. She's the friend that everyone needs. She's the bizarre, perhaps ugly kid that everyone doesn't really understand, beautiful in her own way. And I think brands are really engaged with her. She has some really exciting things coming up in the future, which is one of those things that takes forever for the world to see the light of. But I always hate saying this, but she's in essence a very beautiful, very expensive sex doll without a fanny. It's very degrading, but she's the most beautiful object and a real merge of digital world, of fantasy storytelling and special effects makeup. I had this made with Millennium FX, who did some of the most iconic movies on planet Earth, and they brought to life Lady Gaga's iconic cheekbones with Val Garland, and also my cheekbone prosthetic collaboration with them.
Wow, this is just incredible. You know what? Yeah. I love that you're a jack of all trades. Oh,
absolutely.
You know, you're just doing it. But yeah, but I am. I like Essential got more follows on Instagram than me. So, and we love to see it. Like, I remember when you first released the video of her on YouTube and introduced her. I was like, this is good. I like this, and I felt like it was nice to see you when you were saying start over. You can see the comments of the fans. The fans were like, "Yes, we're ready," and I was absolutely. Like, "Yes, we love."
Well, it
to
was
see
interesting. It was such a mixed opinion because nothing will live up to the plastic surgery project, and I think it's important for me to emphasize I'm not trying to top that. That was a moment in my life which was a lot, and I don't want to revisit that in any way possible. So, with creating these projects, it's just a continuation of the fantasy world that I live in. And I think people have this constant idea that I'm going to keep tearing my face off. But that chapter's been put to bed. Essential is something that will live on past Alexis Stone. And she has a great team of people around her. And whilst I am the creator of her, and she was plucked from my imagination, she has her own team of people. So it was also important for me to do that, to make sure that she wasn't being possibly tarnished through my actions as Elliot or as Alexis, and she really was respected for her own entity. So I'm just incredibly appreciative that my followers have appreciated her as much as I do.
Yeah. Awesome. So apart from Essential XO, what's your future plans? Like, what do you have on the agenda coming your way?
On the agenda, well, I am always working on projects to different capacities. The ones that I'm working on now is the launch of my Makeup Revolution collaboration changed my life in many ways. And
yeah.
to be able to give back with further products was something that was always spoken about. So whether that's with Makeup Revolution, whether that's not with Makeup Revolution, there is more makeup in the pipeline, which is very exciting for me because it means that I can take control and really put out everything that I feel strongly by. And the years of practice and expertise that I've used demonstrating my techniques to enable others to further theirs. Mm-hmm. What else can you expect from me? I mean, probably a few more scandals. I can't go a fucking day without pissing someone off. So I've always got that to look forward to.
Oh God. You know what? I have to admit though, you're like, this is my last question to you.
Sure.
I am always enjoying, like, you know, like, we know when a scandal breaks and you just jump on YouTube. Like, the tatty drama, Alexis.
Oh, yeah.
Bitch.
I turned that around real quick. That was a 4 a.m. job.
Let me tell you something. If I was wigless, I was like, Alexis.
Well, that's the thing is, the internet is such a constant source of inspiration.
Yeah.
So the days that, and you know what's funny is I posted a video maybe like 2 days before being like, I'm having a break from social media, I need to recharge my mental health. So then when that happened, I was like, fuck's sake, I was like, here we fucking go. So there is a constant source of inspiration and you do have to sort of go with it. And that's really not only the way of staying relevant, which is the business side of it, yeah. but as a content creator that plays off internet satire,
yeah.
it's what I do best. So yeah. it would be an injustice if I didn't give out that Oscar award winning performance.
Yes, and come on, like, you do Tati better than Tati. Like,
absolutely.
I was like, yes, Alexis.
I do them all.
Alexis. But yeah, from my point of view, I look forward to more of you. I look forward to meeting you eventually because I know, like, we're now acquainted, so this is good.
Well, it's a sisterhood now.
Yes, so I will definitely see you in the future. Dan, you have anything else you'd like to say to Alexis?
No, I would like to be invited to the brunch, though, that does happen. I know you might be up in Manchester, but like,
oh, absolutely.
We're literally named after the coach that would take me there, so
we'll go and brunch.
We ask all our guests this who have been on the 802, did you get your complimentary peanuts as you boarded?
Did I get my complimentary peanuts? I absolutely did. I got a big mouthful of them.
Okay, fantastic. Nobody boards the 802 without a mouthful of nuts. I just want to say thank you for coming on to our to our pokey little podcast, which we just started.
It's
been
so
a pleasure
much.
Talking to you.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your day. Enjoy the rest
of this.
Before you
go, can I ask you, where can the people find your pat and drop your OnlyFans link as well?
Oh, the OnlyFans is onlyfans.com/ElliotRents, which is my family name, so my father can owe one, two, one, do one. And then in terms of my Instagram and YouTube, that will always be the Alexis Stone.
Mm-hmm. And you can also get Essential as well, right?
Oh, and of course, yes. Essential XO, which is an anagram of Alexis Stone.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
See, look at the consistency.
Uh-huh, she don't disappoint, you other than my father.
Mm-hmm. Alexis, we love you and we cannot thank you enough for coming on our show, because you know what, we're only like a few episodes in and it's a pleasure to have royalty on the show.
Thank you so much. It's all downhill with guests after this, but I'm sure they're lovely.
They've been warned. Step your pussy up, bitch.
Good.
Oh, thank you so much, Alexis.
Thank you.
To see you soon.
All right, lots of love.
No worries. Take care. Bye bye.
Bye.
Wow. Well, that was fun.
Well, well, well.
Well.
Guests out the wazoo. Guests over here. Guests over there. The coach is filling up.
Wow. Like, that's, come on, that's royalty. Like, that's, like, we're in the fucking endgame now.
We're not in the endgame. No, because Marvel didn't do a video, didn't do a film after Endgame, and then panic hit. True. We're in the build up to the first Avengers.
Yeah, we're like
that was our Iron Man.
We're probably Iron Man. Iron Man two. Yeah. Pretty much.
Okay, let's say Iron Man two.
Yeah, let's go to Iron Man two.
Right, guys, you've been listening. We love it. We love that you're here.
Yes.
We also love that some of you, and we know who you are. Well, actually, we don't know who you are, but we see you and we respect the fact that you went onto Apple Podcasts. You found the 802 and you gave us 5 stars. And to that, I say thank you. Now, the next challenge for everyone who's listening who didn't do that is to go and do that. And also leave us a little bit of a review, okay? The more reviews we get, the more people that hear us, the more shows we can make, the longer we can do this. Exactly. So yeah, if you could just go onto Apple and just give us like a 5 stars with a little review, just let us know what you think.
Yes. Tell your friends. If you want to tell it, we keep saying.
You want to say in the review which one of us has got the sexier voice?
Oh, put it in there. All right.
Okay.
All
if
right.
you want to say which one of us you want to take on a date more, put it in the review. Tell us what you want from us in the review.
The shade. So the shade of you today. Jesus. Did you have
that? Was
you have,
that was no shade?
Did you have a monster today?
I didn't.
Oh, I'm very.
What I would say is that we nearly got through an entire episode without mentioning Matalan, and I feel like we should be proud of that.
You just did, so I think we're pretty.
No, I didn't. I mentioned that we didn't mention it. That's why I'm mentioning it. And also, Matalan, if you are listening, which I know you are because I tag you and everything, yes. Please reach out. We're still waiting for that email.
Yeah, where's the freebie? Like, give us now. But yeah, but as for next episode is gonna be my episode, right? Is it correct?
No, I think we've got a guest next week. We've got a guest.
We have guests. Yes, we have guests. Look at
another guest coming for you. This one's from London.
We're relentless now.
I know, my London girls, you've been a little bit deprived in the guest list, but we know we're switching that up. So next week is a guest from London. And then after that, we shall do getting to know Nick.
Yes.
So save up all your dirty questions about his like douching routine, whatever you want to know. Save it for 2 weeks.
You piece of shit. But yes, so for another week, this has been the 802, and you can find the 802 podcast on Instagram and the 802 podcast on Twitter. And you can find me at nk.charles on Instagram and _NickCharles on Twitter. And you can find Dan over at
DanJamesLDN on Instagram and DanJamesLDN on Twitter. And I'm also DanJamesLDN on TripAdvisor if you want to see my reviews of when I went to, I don't know, let's say Leeds.
Why do you always leave your OnlyFans link all to this goddamn podcast? Like,
I mean, I do primarily market my OnlyFans through my TripAdvisor account.
Oh, wow.
I go to a place, I go to a nice Airbnb, I leave a little review on TripAdvisor, and then at the bottom, and I say, and if you want to see me rosebudding, me rosebud? Is rosebud a noun or a verb? Can you rosebud, or do you have a rosebud? Anyway, if you want to see it, that's when you go to Dan James LDN on OnlyFans.
Oh my god, incredible.
But you have to go on TripAdvisor to find the links. Yes. Otherwise, what's even the point of anything?
Yes, exactly. What is the freaking point? But thank you so much, guys.
I've got a casserole in the oven, so I'm going to have to go.
I'm just going to listen to Beyonce's B-Day album because that makes me happy on a rainy day. Makes me happy on a rainy day. But yeah. But until then, the 802 is in London now, and we have brought on guests. There were peanuts, there was nuts in everyone's mouth, everyone's happy. We're good. We're good.
Okay, God. Bye darling. I'll see you soon.
I'll see you soon.
Have fun, everyone. Thanks for
listening.
See
you later.